Hello, kings and queens and in-between sinner saints, and I don't know if I is or I ain't. Welcome to another Union Strong episode of Yes, Jesus! I'm Daniel Franzese, SAG after an equity member, and as always, I'm here with my bestie.
Non-union, but credit union strong, Azariah Southworth.
Don't worry, Azzy, here at Yash Jesus, we believe
economic justice is a Christian value and a queer value.
And laborers deserve to be paid. It's right here in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get right down to the nitty-gritty of that in
queer Christianness. The Washington Post shared a beautiful profile on Mount Hebron Baptist Church in Hartwell, Georgia. And welcoming and inclusive churches need to get so much more love and attention than just this. So go look up the Washington Post and find the title, A Small Town Georgia Preacher Fills Pews by Leaving No One Out. Mount Hebron's pastor is Grant Meyerholtz. He's the sort of pastor that wears t-shirts and tattoos, but his message of inclusivity is drawing all sorts of people who say they have longed for a fully welcoming place to worship. Hartwell is not a big city, and Mount Hebron is certainly a small church. When Pastor Grant started, there were barely a dozen people at the church, but now they are pulling in upwards of 100 people.
Another sweet part of the article includes the story of a local lesbian named Terry Massey. She found her church home after being kicked out of the church where she grew up, where she invested so much of herself for her life, and now she's a leader at Mount Hebron, sharing the love of God with the local community.
Mount Hebron was one of the few church defenders of the Hartwell, Georgia Pride celebration. Other local churches were condemning the local Pride festival. So Mount Hebron took the spiritual lead. That's beautiful.
We thank God for a welcoming, inclusive church like Mount Hebron.
Yes.
And we are thankful that their story is getting told. Make sure you get out to the Washington Post to find that article or check it out in our show notes.
Yes. Take notes of Mount Hebron.
I know. I love when the news is a hallelujah moment, don't you, Azzy?
Yeah, absolutely. Because
sometimes it's scary out there. But let me tell you, whether you're hallelujahing or you're a little frightened, this is the time for the praise report or the prayer request portion of our show. If you're hallelujahing and you have something like that you're walking around saying, God is so good, I need to share it with everyone, let us know, and we'll amplify your message of gratitude. But also, if there's something that you need help with, if you want me and Azzy to pray for you on the air, if you want our Yash Jesuits to add you to their prayer list, then you could send us a prayer request. And that's exactly what we're starting with this week. And this prayer request came from social media. So the user's name was prxlm.kid, and the prayer request was, I'm learning to love myself more. However, my relationship with my family is in shambles. So we must please pray for them. It's kind of hard when you're dealing with the self-love, Azzy, and you know, the people who are supposed to love you the most are giving you opposition.
Yeah, because the people that you love the most are supposed to teach you how to love yourself. So when you don't have that, you really got to do hard work and digging to figure it out on your own. And that's not easy, but you're finding your way, it sounds like.
Azzy, how long have we known each other? Azzy, like, short of a decade?
Now?
No, more than that. Are you kidding? Like, the pandemic was 3 years. I feel like we know each other longer than that. Just short of a decade, probably, I think. Maybe, or half a decade at least. Half a decade, I'll take it. But have you ever seen me really, really get mad and blow my top?
Oh, yeah. No,
like,
no.
like completely lose my temperature, like
not
at a level
yet.
10.
No, I've heard you talk about it.
My family can flick that switch in a moment's notice. Like, it is just, I love them dearly and I get along with my family, but man, could they trigger me into like red face screaming? Why is it that our family could do that in like 0.2 seconds?
Honey, my family have text message proof of me blowing my lid. But yes, family can do that because they're the ones, I think it has something to do with, like, they're the ones that you love the most and that you expect so much out of them. I think it has something to do with expectations and as well as just like comfortability to go there.
I feel like they really know how to press my buttons and flick the switches and everything to just make me go full peppered, like in just no time. So that must be really tough for this Yash Jesuit that is written into us. And we are definitely going to keep you in our prayers. But you know, loving yourself is the first step to not caring what anybody else thinks, regardless of who they are. It sounds like you're in the right, you get the right antidote for the problem.
Yeah, and I was going to just say, stick around and we'll help teach you what we know about loving yourself. So we got you here where your family can't cover you. Well, we have a praise report now, and this praise report says, this is a follow-up to an earlier praise report. We shared the story of Josh who came out to his wife and was going to go to a birthday coming out party. Well, Josh came back to us to tell us that the party was a success, that the shoes Hooray! Arrived. We saw the photos of the fancy green shoes. We saw the decorations and the rainbow-themed food, and we saw photos of love. So praise be with you, Josh. Congratulations.
I hope that more people get to have such a great experience like that, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely.
You deserve it. And those shoes were fios. Yes. We'll be right back after this with the scripture of the day.
Hey, Yes Jesuits, if you love listening to the podcast as much as we love making it, we'd like to ask you to support the show however you can.
We have launched a Buy Me a Coffee page where you can make a one-time contribution to keep the show running. And if you really, really, really love us, please consider becoming a monthly sponsor.
Links to Buy Me a Coffee and becoming a monthly sponsor are in our show notes and on our website, yesjesuspod.com.
If you can't donate right now, please, please consider leaving us a review on Apple and Spotify podcasts, following us on social media, and sharing us with a friend. All of these things help us to bring you new episodes.
So, to all the zaddies and mama bears and everyone out there who already subscribes and support us, thank you so much. We seriously could not do this without you.
And now, without further ado, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Isis Couture, winner of Canada's Drag Race Season 2, and you are listening to Yas Jesus.
It's time for the scripture of the day.
Yes, it is.
Scripture of the day. The scripture of the day. Yes, it's soul food. It's a scripture of the day, Azzy.
And it comes to us from Luke chapter 10, verse 7. The laborer deserves his wages. Period.
And that's on what? And that's
period.
On God. That's on God.
That's right.
This is crazy what's going on right now, everyone. You know, and also everyone is a biblical literist when it comes to queer people. But when we get into money issues, God's preference for the poor and the commandment to pay your workers fairly, then they all get a little squeamish.
they just go missing and they disappear. They're nowhere to be found. But guess what? The Bible is chock full of verses that talk about paying workers a fair wage. And so this one is for our friends who take the Bible seriously and literally.
Obviously, this is coming up because of the SAG-AFTRA and the Writers Guild of America strikes. I'm a proud member of SAG-AFTRA. So right now I'm on strike. I'm not filming. I'm not doing press. You know, I'm not doing any premiere carpets. You know, what's interesting right now is... And why everyone's striking, for those of you who might not be in the entertainment industry or might just be confused by what's happening. What's basically happening now is the last time our contracts were negotiated were before the invention of streaming. Mm. So the old model used to be that if you're on a television show or on a movie and it plays on cable or it plays on regular TV, people would pay for ad space, like they would buy commercials, and they would pay a lot of money to have the commercials on during your movie or television show.
Right.
And then the networks used to, and the studios used to sell that ad space for, you would get a cut of that. And it would be a residual payment, because just because you're no longer on How I Met Your Mother, but How You Met Your Mother is rerunning
and making money still.
Right. And your face is still there. Your performance is still there. It was a way that you would get paid as if you were performing that day, because people were paying for that slot. But now, with the invention of streaming, this on-demand, watch it when you want to watch it, which not only killed the rental model, because we used to make money off of rentals of VHS and DVDs as well, like the whole Blockbuster era. Mm-hmm. So streaming killed that. We could all agree. That was another revenue source for us that died. There's no regulation against streaming. We don't get paid at all for streaming. And it's interesting because a lot of those places make money off their subscription models. If you think about Amazon streaming, they don't even care what their programming is. They make their money off people buying toothpaste to their house. So to pay the actors is like a second thought in a lot of ways. And so that's a big point of contention right now. Our president, Fran Drescher, yes, the nanny Fran Drescher, is now doing a wonderful job of speaking upon it as we start this new strike. In addition to that, AI is an issue. Artificial intelligence is an issue. Artificial intelligence is something where it could write a scene for you. You could say, you know, write a scene about two guys who are robbing a bank, but they're fighting over their girlfriends. Go. And it would come out. It would just, the scene would come out. But the reason is because the intelligence part of artificial intelligence comes from all of this hard work that different artists, all the way from writers to painters and actors, have already done. It has the brain of every right. single thing that's ever created, but nothing new. It can't create anything new. So they're trying to use AI to write for certain writers. I mean, I've seen a couple of soap operas and a couple of reality shows that I'm like, AI would probably do a better job. But the reason the truth of that is because it's coming from everyone from Shakespeare to Nora Ephron are all in there. All their brains, all of their collective works are all in the intelligence model. So it's actually pulling from people who should be getting compensated for that work. So they're trying to make some provisions on artificial intelligence as to not be able to, that's the writer side of it. The performer side of it is even more twisted. So let's say me in a movie like Mean Girls, for instance, if I've given my likeness away to that movie before AI existed. So if they want to make a Mean Girls 3 in 100 years and use me in it, there's no reason that they have to pay me for my voice or my likeness because they already own
it from family after you're gone because they inherit right. your residuals.
Or my estate. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Exactly. One thing they want to do, one of the offers that one of the studios sent back in one of their quote unquote groundbreaking proposals was that a background, or often called extra talent, people that come in just for the day, a day player, who are you know, supplying the background for the scene. They want to hire, so let's go back to Mean Girls again. So let's say they want to hire one of those background high school kids. Now, one of the things I thought was so awesome about Mean Girls is every day we had the same background. So you kind of started to see some of the same people walk around in the background of scenes, and it really gave you a feeling of a real high school. You'd see some of the same characters walking around. Mm-hmm. Well, in this scenario that they're proposing, they would have to hire a background actor for just one day, scan their face, scan their likeness, and be able to use them in hallways and in different situations, but only paying them for one day. Now, what that does is that not only does that cheat the actor out of the one day work, but you have to realize if you have 70 extras on a movie like Mean Girls, there's hair people, there's makeup people, there's wardrobe people that are, and there's crew that are all helping to light and take care of and dress and everything. And all of those crew members are also losing all of those days of work on the film because they don't have to take care of all of those other actors. So they're just like drastically affecting, you know, they've been doing this for a long time. I remember the big squeeze happening even before this on a sitcom when they would hire you. I remember Mary Pat Gleason, who has passed away, but she played a homeless woman on Will and Grace as a recurring character. And she was telling me that the way it works when you get hired as a guest star on a sitcom, and now we're going back to the year 2000, okay? So this is like, even they've been screwing us for quite some time, like in the new millennium. But basically, they would hire you for the table read on Monday, and then on Tuesday, the rehearsal, and then Wednesday, they'd have another read, and then Thursday would be the dress rehearsal, and then on Friday, they'd shoot the show. But because they knew that Mary Pat was such a good actress, and she was taking care of her mom, who had a terminal illness, and trying to, you know, maintain herself, they would just hire her for the Thursday rehearsal and then Friday shooting and not use her for the table read because they knew she could pick it up and she knew her character.
Oh, wow.
She was being punished for being professional and good.
Right.
And they said, sorry, we just don't have your money to pay you the weekly rate. We're going to have to hire you for a daily rate. And then on the day she worked on Will and Grace, they bought every single actor in the cast a Porsche.
We don't have
so they're telling her that they don't have the money to pay for her her weekly rate, which is a standard weekly rate. Uh-huh. And again, we're going back 23 years, you know, and they were screwing her out of that little amount of money on a big, big show like that. So they've been giving us the squeeze for like a really long time. And now if you even look at my Mean Girls residuals, okay, for instance, one of my friends said that movie should buy you a house every year. And you know what? I agree. The movie made $130 million in its first opening week. None of us have ever seen anywhere near a first week.
How many years has it been, Danny?
20 years next year.
And how many people have seen that movie, know that movie, still plays to this day? There's parties, there's themes, there's...
With the exception of maybe some people at the top, like, you know, because a lot of lead actors like Lindsay Lohan probably got points on the back end. They got producer credit, so they were able to get a larger piece of the pie. Uh-huh. But then, you know, some of us supporting actors, none of us have cleared $1 million off of residuals off of something like that's already made in the hundreds of millions.
Right.
And not to mention all of the merch, any t-shirts, any pencils, any, I mean, you've seen all the Mean Girls merch. It's a mug, it's a t-shirt, it's a pencil, it's your grandma's cell phone case. I don't get any money from any of that because they already have the right to my likeness.
Yeah.
And more than any other cast member, they use my face all the time and the She Doesn't Even Go Here hoodie everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And also, me being famous from that movie hurts me from other jobs. Oh, we want to hire him for this movie, but everybody knows him as Damien. He might not be right for that part because of this. Because for a creative industry, it's run by very uncreative folks that just care about the bottom line of money. You know, look, I could still host this podcast for a bunch of reasons. First of all, this is my baby. I created it. And also, more importantly, I don't get paid for it. This is another thing I'm doing in Hollywood that I don't get paid for. More than often or not, I'm paying for the episode. So, you know, this is a plug definitely for supporting the podcast with a buy me a coffee function because I'm not getting paid in any way right now. Okay. Right now, my only income source truly is stand up, which is piecemeal. You don't really get as much as you think you do. You know, for big, big shows, I can get a few thousand, but for these small little local shows that I'm doing here and there, it's just in the hundreds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also get paid doing influencer work and things like that. But other than that, how do I make a living? Those are my side hustles. Like, this should be a side hustle. This shouldn't be the main gig. And we should be able to make money in ways. Also, I don't qualify for health insurance.
Yeah, that's huge.
With my health scare and everything else, I don't have SAG health insurance.
Right.
And how could I be a 22-year veteran of acting in this community, do so much, show at so many premieres, done so many film moderations, have showed up and done the press work, have promoted everything, organizations, have donated my time, promoted others, have gone to other people's movies and things and played the game and said, oh, I'm on an HBO show. I'm going to show up to all the HBO screenings for HBO.
But
it's like, when do we get paid for all of this work?
Right.
Also, even auditions, they cost me pretty much anywhere between $30 to $100 per audition. And that's not counting when they ask me to get a haircut because all of a sudden I'm going to play a politician and I can't be scruffy. Or I've got to wear a certain kind of shirt or something. We want you in a suit and tie. Well, I got to go get one if I don't have that material as an actor, which has been plenty of times in my life where I haven't had that stuff. I have to go get the stuff that I do have dry cleaned.
Yeah.
And then after I wear it to the audition, it's got to be dry cleaned again.
Right.
And there's a cost accruing to all of this. Right. And these fat cats are sitting on top of, you know, the Paramount mountain of money or wherever and complaining that they can't pay a living wage. I mean, it's literally like $1 or $2 million chopped off of their hundreds of million dollar salaries. Some of them could really solve this whole entire problem, but they're living in a world of greed. This is like a succession level of greed and money kind of situation.
Danny, what would you say to someone who only sees, you know, the red carpet and the premieres and, you know, the glamorous side of Hollywood actor life?
Listen, it's not all sunglasses and autographs, kid. That's what I would say. I was even having a great conversation with my niece last night. She's 11. She wants to pursue acting when she's older. And I was trying to have a conversation with her explaining what was going on right now and why this was happening. Because eventually in her time, she might have to deal with fighting off AI and other things even worse than we're having to deal with it now. And I think that it's, you know, everyone tells you there's a million books that tell you how to get your foot into the industry. I used to sit myself as a young actor and I would buy a coffee, grab like an armful of every acting book and magazine, and I would just read everything. I read everything I could to get me to where I am. And I truly think that there were some really pinnacle books that helped me make certain decisions to get me to where I am. But there's no book to tell you once you get your foot in the door. Once you get your foot in the door, the truth is there's millions of people slamming that door shut on your foot. And a lot of it's coming from upstairs, like a lot of the bigger executives who, again, are lawyers. They're not even like creative people who make creative decisions.
Yeah. You told me so one time, Hollywood plots to create stars and plots to destroy them.
It is true. They get together and they decide, you know, who's going to be the next star.
Yeah.
It is absolutely true. And, you know, that's why the same people get the same gigs all the time. they conspire to make stars. They absolutely do.
Yeah.
And the tabloids are the one, like, they love to make someone a star. I remember watching, such a great example for anybody that's older than a Gen Z is Jessica Simpson and her husband. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Jessica, yeah. Nick Lachey and Jessica, they were like white hot celebrities. Like right now, I don't even know who it would be, but they were like Kardashian level. Like everybody knew who they were and what they were up to. And they just kept building them up and building them up. Nick and Jessica, the perfect couple. Nick and Jessica, the perfect couple. And putting them on every magazine. So as soon as they had one little problem, they could tear them down. They knew that if the magazines were selling when they're together, they're going to sell even more when they break up. And that's what they do in this town. They try to build you. Everyone wants to see whoever, Tom Hanks or whoever you think, Meryl Streep. Everyone wants to see them fall. Like, it's sad that that's the truth, but nobody wants to see anybody too on top. I think that the more you get involved, tabloid journalism is a double-edged sword. It's a lie. And when people get involved with that, when they call their publicist and say, hey, I'm going to take my shirt off and jog around the park, you should have a paparazzi ready for me. They're selling their soul a little bit, even though that is part of the industry, because that same paparazzi is going to be sitting outside your house the day that the worst thing in the world ever happened to you.
Yeah.
They have no couth whatsoever. I remember a time where a paparazzi reporter on purpose crashed into Lindsay Lohan's car just to get the first pictures of the accident. Because they know that their insurance will cover the little crash, but the first pictures of the accident will get them a couple of $100,000 for the right magazine or space.
Right. Well, I think it might be a little time to get biblical with this now,
Let's
Danny.
Do it. That's what we do here. Let's get biblical. Come on and get biblical, because that's what we do at Yes Jesus.
Well, let's kick things off with the scripture of the day. It's short and simple. Luke 10:7. The laborer deserves what? Their wages.
That's right. And just a little bit of context. This verse, Jesus was talking about his disciples. He's sending them out two by two.
Two by two.
Yes, and he's giving them instructions on what to do when they're in each town. And part of that is accepting hospitality and whatever people want to offer. Why? Because a worker deserves his wages.
Yes, they do. Now let's move on to Leviticus.
Leviticus Ridiculous. Oh, which, if you haven't listened to, is one of my favorite episodes of this podcast.
Yeah. So right before it says to... about same-sex people. We won't go into that, but listen to Leviticus Ridiculous. Leviticus 19:13. You shall not oppress your neighbors or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning.
Oh my gosh. That's in the same one as as the one anti-gay passage we have. Yep. And it's so incredible how many people don't follow this. Do you hear that, you guys? It's against the Bible to withhold payment.
Yeah.
It's alongside robbery.
Yeah, if you believe in Leviticus 19:18, well, honey, you better believe in Leviticus 19:13. But of course, some people don't want to take Leviticus literally. Can you believe? In fact, most people ignore Leviticus except for the queer stuff. So you want to be selective in your scripture interpretation, but guess what? The Bible doesn't only mention paying workers one time. It comes up over and over again.
May I ask you? Jeremiah 22:13. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbor serve him for nothing and does not give him his wages.
Hold my beer. Deuteronomy 24:14. You shall not oppress a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether he is one of your brothers or one of your sojourners who are in your land within your towns. You shall give him his wages on the same day before the sun sets, for he is poor and counts on it, lest he cry against you to the Lord and you be guilty of sin.
Azzy, this right here is the Bible straight up calling wage theft sin. When you don't pay your workers, it doesn't matter if they're actors, writers, warehouse workers, sales associates, domestic workers, nurses, teachers, sex workers.
That's right.
You are committing a sin, according to Deuteronomy.
Really, according to the whole Bible.
Truly, the whole Bible. One more. Romans, here's your beer back. 4:4, okay? Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due.
His wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due.
When they call it an honorarium and they only give you 1/3 your rate, so that means.
Right. So remember, getting paid is not a gift. It is compensation for labor. It is how we work so that we can live.
Look, maybe now you're starting to hear about all the multiple jobs that actors hold. Some are still waiting tables and bartending. Some are doing stand up and cameo to supplement my income.
That's right.
Some people just cobbling together enough to live. Mm-hmm. Listen, I've had some really rough years in the past, and I share the highlights of my life on social media, but a lot of this is really hard work.
It really is. I witness it, and it's hard. I don't know how you do it, Danny, but you do. And I have a greater appreciation for teachers, nurses, warehouse workers, truck drivers, and all those labor unions who fight to make sure that their members are not exploited.
Look, it's possible that this strike will last a while. You know, we've heard some really egregious things from network and studio executives who are making hundreds of millions of dollars a year about the strategy is really to stretch us out as long as possible, hoping to starve us out, hoping that people won't be able to make their rents, hoping that people will move. That's a little scary, to be honest.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, my dad was a forklift driver and he was union. And so I remember when his union would go on strike and, you know, he'd be out of work and he would pick up a job at Pizza Hut making pizzas just to try to make ends meet in the meantime, you know. And it boils down to, you know, the heads of these companies making decisions that are in favor of their wallet rather than really trying to take care of their workers that have taken care of them and built the mansion, the empire that they have. Speaking of greed, there are plenty of Bible verses about greed too. And the writers and actors strike is also about greed.
So many labor strikes are about greed, to be honest. It's usually about the top not wanting to trickle down to the bottom.
Yeah. Give up maybe, you know, just like 10% of your salary, 20%. Like you're still making multi-millions. But let's share one such verse. 1 Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Who was it? The president of Disney recently made a comment. Bob Iger made a comment about like writers not being able to survive on $67,000 a year or something. And he made a comment about like, it was something along the lines of like, be more responsible, something along those lines, right? I'm paraphrasing strongly.
Right. But when he was doing this, he was at a retreat for billionaires, hanging out with Mark Zuckerberg and other people. Like,
and meanwhile, he makes $72,000 a day. You know, like,
yeah. One day's work could supply a whole writer for a year.
It's time to, you know, like for these big wigs to take a pay cut, like we have often had to do, you know, support your people.
I saw somebody's tweet. Again, it's a paraphrase, but it was someone's tweet said something like, congratulations to all the studio execs that are celebrating their Emmy nominations for projects that had absolutely nothing to do with it, while all the people who created it are on strike.
Yep. Parry that.
A little ridiculous. So, you know, what we need from you guys for your Tide Love Offering Charity Act of Good this week is to take some time to make sure that you're supporting laborers, whoever they are. You know, I always think you have to tip people that serve you, take care of people around you. If you're around Los Angeles and New York and you could support the writers and actors strike with a donation of food or volunteering time regarding the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strike, here's how you can help. Go to sagaftra.org and find out more information there, because they're going to be constantly updating ways that you can help with this crisis.
Yes. Maybe we should take some food and some refreshments down to the strike line and we can help them out.
Or over to my apartment. I'm so thirsty right now.
I'm on my way. But if you aren't around a lot of actors and writers, you can also make sure that those who are laboring are also paid well. Think of who is being paid a low wage and find ways that you can offer your support.
You may have followers, but if your followers are not actively engaging with each other, learning from each other, and vibing regularly, then you don't have a community. So please reach out to us. We want to know who you are, and we want to feel your presence. We want to spread the love to other queer Christian music and artists. If you're a queer Christian musician and you want us to play one of your songs, send us an email to contact@yashjesuspod.com with a link to where we could find the MP3 file of the songs that you want us to consider. Now, as we get to the closing prayer, we have more drag queen prayers. Yes, Jesus! It was at RuPaul's Drag Con UK in London. And while we were there, we got some holy prayers from some divine drag queens. And today, we're going to open up our prayer segment with an amazing prayer offering from the legendary Isis Couture, darling.
My prayer for the queer community would definitely be like to be more united. I feel like there's a lot of separation in the gay community, and I feel it as a person of color, and I feel it as, I don't know, I just feel like we just need to be united more, and I feel like we fight for a lot of things that are very important, but I feel like what we need to do most is work on ourselves first, and I feel like lead by example, because there's just so much like inner hatred towards ourselves, to the other people that we love, and we just really need to work on that, and it really breaks my heart that, you know, we don't love each other like we want other people to love us. Just be like a decent human being. Like, I know it's so simple to say, but like, just be a decent human being. Say thank you, be positive, and just continually always try your best.
Really good advice and a really good prayer from Isis Couture. You know, that was a common thread, is for us to have unity within the community. You can't have community without unity. Did I just make that up? That sounds good. We want to make sure that we're in our community. We are doing that this week. So now let's bow your heads, unless you are driving, because Jesus can't actually take the wheel. God, we come to you today so grateful to be in your presence, so grateful for the things we do have. But we also want to pray for all the laborers out there who are working, those who are working for low wages, for very little dignity. Please, God, break free the bonds of exploitation and oppression, and let the workers get paid for their work.
Yes.
We also want to lift up and pray for Mount Hebron Baptist Church in Hartwell, Georgia. Their welcoming and inclusive ministry is vital in this day and age, and it's gaining followers, it's growing and trending, and it's getting attention. And we want to raise up churches that know how to do ministry with all people, including the LGBTQ+ community.
Yes, and we pray for PRXLM.kid. They are learning to love themselves more and more every day. And we pray that you continue to show them all the ways that you have made them fearfully and wonderfully. But they need your help to repair or right-size their relationship with their family. Keep them strong and give their family understanding and caring. And we give praise to Josh for a successful and fabulous coming out party. Keep him surrounded by a loving community and lots of colorful people and foods.
And shoes, amen, and Jesus, shoes. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for listening to another episode of Yash Jesus. You can find us on social media at Yash Jesus Pod or on our website at yashjesuspod.com. If you like the show, make a donation. Make a donation to this laborer by buying us a coffee with the Buy Us a Coffee button right there on our webpage. You can find ways to support the podcast on our website or in our show notes. And if you ain't got no money, honey, trust me, we understand. Just leave us a review, 5 stars, or share us with a friend. Helping do those things really helps Yash Jesus go out to others who might need to hear it.
That's right. You can now leave an audio prayer request or praise report on our website, which is yasjesuspod.com. We would love to share your voice and your prayers on the show. So drop us a line or send us a recording on yasjesuspod.com.
Send us your praise reports, your prayer requests, episode ideas, guest ideas, or even just a bitch better have my money. That's right. We want to hear from you. Yash Jesus is hosted by me, Danny Franzese, and
I don't have your money yet, but just hold on. Give me till next week and I will. Azariah Southworth. Music, sound, editing, and all things audio are done by Chris Heckman. Our show is produced by the Freakin' Deacon Ross Murray and Lady Boss. That's right, Lady Boss Meredith Pauly.
We are streaming and screaming on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember, I don't have your money, but God does love you just as you are.
And your currency is just keep praising the Lord, y'all.